God has been good to us to bless us with better weather. If you like this weather better than the weather that we had last weekend, it's certainly more highway-friendly weather. And so we're thankful to be able to be here, and we are blessed to be able to once again assemble together in a fashion like this and worship the God of heaven. That's encouraging to me, and it's always encouraging to see each and every one of you. Well, today marks 2 years ago that we woke up and had our first start to a brand new day in London, Kentucky. And we've just really enjoyed the last 2 years, and I want you to know how much we have grown to love each and every one of you, and what an encouragement that you have been to me and Tracy and Ethan. And we certainly just count it a joy and a privilege and an honor to be with you. You have certainly encouraged us and have treated us so much better than what we feel like we deserve. And so I hope that you know how much you mean to us. Here we are in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. And the way it is with each and every one of these chapters, there's just a number of things that we could choose to talk about. And I hope that on our class on Wednesday night that it's been beneficial to you. I hope that it's been profitable to you. I hope that each one of these lessons on Sunday morning thus far have been profitable to you and of benefit to you as you think about the book of Hebrews. Someone once said that knowledge is power. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Have you ever tried to do something without having knowledge about what you're trying to do? Think about how frustrating that is. To set out to do something and accomplish something having no idea how to do it. Have you tried to do that before? I have. I have tried in a lot of different ways to do things in which I've never done before. To try to fix something having never fixed something like that before. With no knowledge. I think about trying to fix a car. I know how to start a car. I know how to check the oil. I can change the oil. But when it comes to things beyond that, I pretty well had no knowledge about that. And so I've had it in the time past when something would happen to one of my cars and I'd want to fix it because I didn't want to take it somewhere and be overcharged on trying to fix and just try to take that upon myself, and then I get so frustrated, so aggravated because I have no idea what I'm doing. Has that ever happened to you before? Think about our children, how they perhaps get some new toy or a new game, and they know what the end result is that they want to accomplish. They want to be able to play it. They want to be able to use it. But they don't necessarily want to take the time to learn how to do that. Can you relate to that? We do the same thing as adults. We get in such a hurry and our patience leaves us, and we know what we want to do, but we don't want to take the time to really learn how to do whatever it may be. And I've done that, and I get so frustrated because I can't learn it quick enough. What about when it comes to studying the Bible? It may be that we study a new subject that we've really never tackled before, or maybe a question, and what we want is to know it right now. And then we learn that it's going to take some time. We're going to have to be patient with ourselves and really put in the time and the effort. Knowledge is power. And you've seen that in your work and in your life, day in and day out, how that there is a lot of truth to that. Knowledge is power. I remember the first case that I got when I graduated college and started working for the state and really had no idea what to do and didn't know much about it. And so I went through the training because they wanted you to have knowledge about what you were going to do. And just about every job that you have begins in that same way. Whether it's hands-on training, they're going to send you somewhere to train you. They want you to have knowledge. Well, that's textbook knowledge, but that doesn't always equate to what you actually see. And so here I was, just had been out of school maybe a year before I started there. The first case that I got assigned to me, little did I know at the time that that was the worst case that the office had. And they gave it to me. Now, why she decided to do that, I don't know. Certainly wasn't because I had the knowledge that I needed. And I tell you what, that was a challenge. I was not about to go in front of that judge and say, when asked a question, worker, how's his family doing? I don't know. I wanted to know. Knowledge is power. So I began to get out and meet the family and meet the teachers and meet the children and interview them because we want knowledge. Think about those here that have served in the military. How much knowledge that they want you to have. One branch of the military, a whole part of that curriculum is centered around knowledge. You get off the bus and you get on those yellow footprints, and in that curriculum, they take the time to teach you about the history of the Marine Corps. And it's repetitive over and over and over. When that drill instructor stands there and he says, "Recruit, what is your first general order?" What are you going to say? "I don't know." That won't work. Ask some of these ones that's been in the military. You'll rattle that off because you don't want to say, "I don't know." Sir, this recruit's general order is, and rattle it off. Take care, charge of this post and all government property within sight. Knowledge is power. In the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews, he talks about, and the thought doesn't end now with the end of chapter 5, but it goes into chapter 6 as he talks about achieving really spiritual maturity. That's what I want us to talk about for just a little while. He is telling them, and I invite you to open up your Bible and look at the text. Notice what he is telling them. And of course, we want to keep it in its context. But when you look at verse 12 beginning, or actually 11, he says, "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Now, the context of this, of course, he's talking to them about Jesus. He begins a chapter by talking about the high priest. And he's going to teach them how Jesus is our high priest. He even mentions this man by the name of Melchizedek. And as he is teaching them, as he is writing this letter to them, he is saying, "We have many things to say, but you are not capable of hearing it. You are not capable of understanding it." In essence, because you have not grown, you have not progressed in your knowledge to where you need to be. Well, what did that lead to? Well, it led to them being incapable to understand or digest what he says they should know. And he says, furthermore, you ought to be able to teach others. But you, in essence, cannot because you're incapable of doing that. You should have been able to do it, but you're not. So I want us to think about achieving spiritual maturity. Everyone doesn't grow at the same pace. You know that, you understand that, and so do I. That people do not learn at the same pace. Right, at the same pace. And you may have someone who obeys the gospel of Christ and they're really able just to take off and they grasp things and they learn things very quickly. And then you have someone else who may obey the gospel of Christ and it takes a lot of time for them to study and to really grasp it and to understand what the Bible has to say and what they need to know. So let's think about this for just a little while. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, the Bible says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." You know what that's telling them, in essence? To grow up. To act like men. Quit you like men. Some versions actually say, conduct yourselves like men, or act like men. See, the problem is sometimes that even within the Lord's body, sometimes we have too many babies. And I'm not saying, I have no one in particular in mind when I say that, but I'm just saying that sometimes we do not progress the way that we should. We don't grow up. We don't mature in the faith, in our knowledge, in our service to God. We obey the gospel. We come up out of the water and grave of baptism, and we do nothing else really. We don't grow. And that leads to a lot of problems. not only in the local body, but in our own personal lives. It causes a lot of problems when we don't have the knowledge that God would have us to have. Here's some dangers of remaining immature. Now think about some of these for just a moment. We already pointed out in Hebrews chapter 5 that he says, "For when for the time that you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." If we remain mature, it's going to hinder our ability to teach others. And you know, we're commanded to teach others, by the way. Jesus gave that commandment to the apostles, and extends to us as well, Matthew chapter 28, to go into the world and do what? Teach all nations. Or the parallel to that in Mark 16, verse 15. "Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature." That's a commandment that the Lord gave. Preachers are charged with that task. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. "The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." But if we don't grow, and we just become complacent, and we just become satisfied, "Well, I've obeyed the gospel, my sins have been forgiven, I'm just going to sit down and do nothing else," I'm not going to develop what's necessary to be able to teach other people. What about my family? What about my children? What about my neighbor if the opportunity arises? What about those in the congregation? I suggest to you that one of the reasons that so many congregations become weak is because they don't have a strong teaching program. And I'll tell you, we're blessed to have, as I've stated before, to have the elders that will say, "This is what needs to be taught for the upcoming year. These are the topics that need to be taught." That's important. Because again, we don't all grow at the same pace. And so we need to think about equipping ourselves with the necessary knowledge to be able to teach others. And again, we don't want to take that out of its context. You can look at that in the context of the chapter, and we'll continue to do that on Wednesday as we think about the Jesus being a high priest and how he qualified to do that. But it endangers one of being carried away. Being carried away. To Christian people, Paul penned the letter of Ephesians. He's not writing to people who had no knowledge of the truth. He's not writing to individuals who had never obeyed the gospel before. He is writing to those who are in Christ. And notice what he says in Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 12. "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man," some of your versions may say complete, "unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children." Well, obviously he's not talking about physical children in that way. We grow up, we can't revert back to being a child physically. It's not what he's talking about. But notice what he says. "That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up," there's our thought about maturity, "may grow up into Him in all things which is ahead, even Christ." You think about a child, they'll believe just about anything that they're told. They don't know any better. Granted, one day they'll grow up and they'll mature and be able to make their decisions and be able to weigh the evidence that they're given and come to a determination of what's right and what's wrong. But you take your child, you can tell him just about anything you want to, and they'll believe it. Why? Because Mom and Dad said so. And Paul is saying we've got to mature. If we don't grow up, if we don't advance in our knowledge and the things that God would have us to know, we're going to be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. That's what he's saying. Be led away, led astray. Why? Because you don't know any better. You don't know what to believe. You think about the division that took place in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s with institutionalism, liberalism, whatever other isms you want to throw in there, I guess. But a lot of that happened because of the organization or a group of people that identified themselves as a herald of truth. You older ones lived through that and you know about that. I was talking to a preacher who lived through that, and he's in his upper 70s now, and he was talking to him about that, and one of the things that he said to me that made an impression on me was he said, "Doc, you've got to think about it." He's talking about Eastern Kentucky, and it not just limited there, but other areas as well. But he said, "Think about it. These men who are very educated, very smooth talkers, who would go into an area where the people did not have that level of education, did not have the ability, I guess, to be able to read and to study as much, I guess. And that's just a general statement. Certainly don't want to insult anyone's intelligence. But here these men went there and said, this is the way it needs to be. This is the way that it should be. This is what the Bible says." And a lot of people didn't know any better, whether that be they hadn't studied it, they hadn't been taught, they hadn't been grounded. But I say that because we've got to understand that we've got to be grounded in the truth. Not just because Donnie says so, not because Larry C.L. or the deacon say so, but we know what the truth is because we have studied it, and I know it's true because this is what the Bible says. And so whether it's someone who stands before you in a pulpit or someone in a Bible class or you meet someone on the street, you can rightly divide it. You can discern between what's right and what's wrong. Now think about that. Knowledge is power. We've got to know. We've got to study or we'll be led away. We'll be carried away by every wind of doctrine. And it hinders one from standing against the devil. He did a very good job in his Bible class of talking about the spiritual armor from Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 18. Why did he tell them to do that? Notice verse 13. "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Why? "That ye may be able to stand," or withstand rather, "in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Part of that is the Word of God. To know the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted of the devil, remember how he responded to those temptations? "It is written." When you're tempted in your personal life, are you able to quote the Scripture saying, "I'm not going to do that, the Bible says"? We've got to know what the Word of God says. If not, we're not going to be able to stand against the devil. We won't know what to do. We won't know better. And so we've got to grow in the way that God would have us to grow. It causes one to lack, to be short. Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. In the context of that, here's the commandments. And one said, "Lord, I've done all these things. What do I lack?" Well, this is what you need to do. "Go and sell all that you have, give it to the poor." Remember that? We've got to know. James chapter 1, verse 4 talks about that as well, that we'll be complete and so forth. God expects His people to know. It's not that it's an option that I can obey the gospel of Christ and then, well, if I want to grow, I can. If I don't want to grow, that's okay too. Doesn't work that way. It's not an option. God expects His people to know the truth and to grow. Think about the references, and there's many of them in the Bible, that talks about the fact that God expects His people to know. For example, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Talking about God who would have all men to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. God wants His people to know, so that they can be saved. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, talks about knowledge. God expects people to not be ignorant, "wherefore be not unwise," Ephesians 5:17, "but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Think about what a lack of knowledge leads to. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 22, verse 29? Chapter 22, verse 29? You do err, not knowing the Scriptures. Well, you don't know it, it caused you to do wrong. It caused you to miss the mark. Why? Because you don't know any better. Not perhaps because you just maliciously said, I'm going to violate what God would have me to do. But you didn't know. And that's no excuse. We'll see that in just a moment. Ignorance is no excuse. You remember that passage in Acts 17, verse 30? God once winked at this ignorance. But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. When we have a lack of knowledge, it'll lead to us missing the mark. To destruction. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. What did he say about his people? My people are destroyed. Why were they destroyed? For a lack of knowledge. Seeing how you have rejected me, I'll reject you from being a priest unto me. Seeing how you have forgotten the law of your God, I will reject you as my people, that thou shalt be no priest unto me. They were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Damnation. Well, preacher, if I don't study it, if I don't know it, then God's not going to hold me accountable to that. I mean, how can I be held accountable if I don't know? Well, notice what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 1, 6 through 10. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. You think it's important to know? Who was He going to take vengeance on? Those who obey not, and those who know not. Ignorance is not bliss. If we don't know, we better start finding out. If I don't know what the Bible says, I better start studying. That starts with me first. But if I don't know what God expects of me, then I better pick the book up and put my nose in it and learn what it says. If not, I'll be lost. I'll teach error to someone. If I try to teach and I don't know what the Bible says, I'll lead someone astray. I'll go astray. Be carried about with every wind of doctrine. And lose my soul in the after while. See how important it is to pick the book up and study it? Doesn't mean that we're going to know everything that the Bible says. There's still more about the Bible that I don't know than what I know. But that doesn't give me a license to sit down and never study. But to study and make application in our lives. Again, it led to the downfall of Israel. They went into captivity because they had no knowledge. Isaiah 5:13. That doesn't mean God didn't inform them of what He wanted. The law was made available to the people. God's instruction was made known unto the people. But they had rejected knowledge. They had turned away from it. They didn't make the effort. They turned their backs on God. By the way, we don't need to underestimate the importance of knowledge. Now think about that for just a moment. In John chapter 8, verse 32, a passage that you are very well familiar with, the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Those things were revealed to the apostles, and they penned them down. So that we can have the knowledge, we can know what God would have us to do. Proverbs 8, verse 10. Knowledge is better than gold. It's better to be wise than to be rich in the things of the world. 2 Peter 1 and verse 5. Again, you're familiar with this. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And then he lists some things that we ought to continue to add and to grow in. Well, why should I care about that? Why should I give attention to do those things? Notice what he says. For if these things be in you and abound, verse 8, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge, there's our word, of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You think these things are important? You think knowledge is important? Again, think about what the Hebrew writer is saying. You should know these things, he's telling them. But you don't. You're dull of hearing. You're incapable of understanding them. You're incapable of receiving them. And you ought to be able to teach other people, but you can't. You've stunted your growth. By the way, can our growth be stunted today? You better believe it can. And there's not a doubt in my mind that we can each look back over the course of our life since we've obeyed the gospel of Christ and probably feel like I probably should know more now than what I really do. What did I do with my time? I didn't study perhaps the way that I should. I didn't apply myself. I didn't sit down and spend enough time with it. But if we can do that, and we understand that, we need to do better. Each one of us. I need to do better reading my Bible. I need to do better studying my Bible. I need to do better listening to what the preacher says even when he goes over the top of the hour. I need to do better. And constantly grow. 2 Peter 3 verse 18. Remember what that says? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are we growing? Are we reaching spiritual maturity? Not only in our knowledge, but in our conduct. Quit ye like men. Stand fast. Grow up. Act like men. That's what we need to strive to do. Perhaps you're here this morning. You've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. This will never change. What God says to do in order to become a child of His will never change. We do that by hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Without faith it is impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11:6. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do we believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Do we believe that? Do we believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are we willing to repent of our sins? Make the necessary changes. Change our mind toward the way we think about what we're doing and purpose that we're going to do better. Confess our faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. The Bible says in Matthew 16, verse 13, that when they came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked His disciples, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Some of them said, well, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you believe that? Willing to confess that before those present this morning? And to be baptized in water for the remission of your sins, to rise to walk in newness of life. The Lord will add you to the church of Christ that He purchased with His own blood, Acts 2:47, Acts 20:28. All things are ready. The question is, are you? Perhaps you have done that, but you've fallen away and turned your back on the Lord. You're not living it the way that you should, and you realize that. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. If you want to go to heaven, we bid you come.
all with